Hello, everyone. It's good to be here. You know, I met your pastor at that air show. Where's your pastor? You didn't want to hear
him? Oh.
And I was talking, this man comes up to me with Brother Reese, and he's talking to me, and I'm listening to him, and I go, boy, he sounds so good. You know, he, the way he speaks. And I look at him and I go, are you a pastor? And he goes, yes. And he goes, are you a missionary? I go, yes. So then we started talking. But he's a very gracious man. I told him what I was doing. You know, I told that to another pastor, a friend of mine. I just got back from Alabama. And I was telling him, and he's, oh, you got to come and tell our people what's going on in your life. I go, I will. So I went there last week. But, you know, I'll never forget your pastor, his name, you know, Asquith. I mean, how many Asquiths do I know? 7, 8, maybe? No. I don't know another one. And the other pastor, where's the other pastor?
Ray, he's over there.
You know what? I'll never forget his name. I'm actually wearing an article of clothing with his name on it. So, but I'm really happy to be here. And, you know, our ministries, I was just on the phone before we left our house, 6 o'clock this morning, around there, talking to Elvis. Our pastor in Africa is Elvis. You know, we needed an Elvis. He plays, my older daughter was teaching him how to play a guitar. He was in the house playing, you know, learning to play the guitar. We were having a prayer meeting. Next person that walks in the door was Priscilla. No, I'm serious. And I yelled at my wife. She was in the kitchen. I go, Jan, Elvis and Priscilla are in the living room. So, you know, but he's a good man. I tell you, a lot of people in Africa, they walk around like this. You know what I'm talking about? They're looking for money. They're looking for something. But Elvis, you know, he's got a job, and he puts most of his money into the church. And I keep telling him, Elvis, you know, you got to take a salary, even if you just put it back into the offering plate, so people can get the feeling that they're, you know, supporting their pastor. But he just wants to just give. I never saw a man like him. He just gives and gives of himself, gives of his money. I couldn't have picked a better person to be a pastor of that church. We're still heavily involved in the church. We go back maybe once a year. This year I couldn't go back. Went back last year. I'll go back next year. And we're still involved with everything that goes on. Elvis is not a prideful man. He's a very humble man. He seeks my advice a lot. When he needs counseling, he'll call me, or I'll call him. And we'll discuss things. And sometimes I tell him, Elvis, this is something that you need to just, God's got to tell you what to do. You know, I could give you advice, but you got to go to God. And that's how it is. When we went to Africa, I wasn't about to start a ministry in Africa unless I had got something from the Word of God. And that's exactly what I waited for. And I got verses going to go south. You know, I'll talk more about this at 1 o'clock, but I got verses. And then when we were wrapping up that ministry, our family, you know, we finished it all up, and they got a beautiful church. They're in the process right now. We're having a pastor's house being built, and the church is running about 100. They got about 20 in the deaf ministry. They're doing good, and I had to leave so that Elvis can be in charge without people coming to me. And now I'm praying to where to go, and God's giving me direction to go north. And I'm thinking, well, maybe North Zambia or North Northern Africa. And then I got verse saying to go to the land of your fathers, which is Sicily, Italy. And I'm thinking, why? And the pastor, you know, Pastor, well, we researched it, and we're finding out that it's a gateway to Europe, but all the African immigrants are going in there. And what African immigrants are going there? A lot of them are all from the 1040 window, which is hard to go and preach the gospel in that area because of all the Muslims. But now I'm in Sicily, and all these people from the 1040 window are coming to me.
Amen.
Which is a real blessing. So that's where we're at. And please, I urge you, you want to hear some interesting facts about our family and our life and our ministry, I'll do that at 1 o'clock, okay? But right now I want to preach to y'all. And if you turn to John chapter 11, please. You know, I am a VIP. I mean, I'm not as eloquent of speech as your pastor, but I am a VIP, and I expect to be treated as such. And that would be very insignificant person. Okay, we're going to look at John chapter 11, and I titled this message, No Matter What Your Stinking Problem Is, Get Up Again Anyway. Now, anybody here know, did we pray? Did I pray?
You just pray again.
Did I pray?
No,
I did not pray. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for this day. I humble myself before you. I submit myself to you. I resist the devil. Your word says that he'll flee from us according to the precious holy name and the precious holy blood of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here. And thank you for the opportunity to be able to speak with these people in this church. Help them, Lord, that they would have ears to hear, Lord. And we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, listen. No matter what your stinking problem is, get up again anyway. Anybody here ever have a problem? Huh? Yeah? Well, you know what? Guess what? Everybody has a problem. What did Job say? They're like sparks flying upward, your problems. You're going to see millions of them. Well, listen, those people that are coming over to, I'm going to say Zambia, to Sicily that I'm dealing with, these people have serious problems. I mean, you heard the pastor, a boat that should take 50 people, there's 200, and they're standing like this. It should take 6 to 10 hours to get there, and sometimes they take a wrong turn and they're out there for 2 days. Now, you can't move. You move and you upset the boat and the boat's overturned. And literally, thousands upon thousands of these African refugees are fished out of the water dead because the boats have overturned. Many of them don't make it. Now, you know what? I come to America and I find out the biggest problem that the American public has. Are you aware of the biggest problem, sir? It's devastating, okay? I mean, devastating. It's this. You know, you could fall down and break a leg and people will walk right by you. But if you drop your cell phone, everyone will go, oh, is it okay? That's one of the biggest problems Americans have. Yeah, I'm sure there's big problems, but I'll tell you, not like these refugees. Like he said, coming across it, you couldn't have said it any, man, you could have preached for me too. You did a great job. But, you know, these people that come across the desert, they have problems. You know, anybody know who Alexander Mackenzie was? Sir Alexander Mackenzie? Well, this guy, he was an explorer. And he's trying to find a route to the Pacific Ocean. And he's going down this river, paddling down this river, him and his men, all kinds of struggles. You know what? Struggle, problem after problem these men are having. They end up in their journey ends up, and it's not the Pacific Ocean. It's the Arctic Ocean. And in his diary, he's writing about this trip and everything, and he titled that trip, The River of Disappointment. You know, it was a disappointment to him because He went through all these struggles, and at the end, you know, we go through a lot of struggles in our life, and many of us find ourselves paddling up rivers of disappointments of our own. You know, they look hopeless sometimes, and we let them get the better of us sometimes, but we're not alone. We're not the first ones to walk in this valley. You know, we're in John chapter 11, are we? Okay, we're going to stay there. Okay, I'm going to make it nice and easy for you. I'll tell you something. That was an extraordinary Sunday school lesson. I loved it. You know, I was just thinking of Africa and even Sicily. What I do there is I'll have doctrinal study. 1 month doctrinal study. 1 month practical. These guys need a lot of practical. They both need a lot of practical. You know, and you know what? You need a lot of practical. You need to know your Bible, and then you also need a lot of practical in your life. You know, many of us face that disappointment in our life. But let's look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Martha which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. He whom thou lovest is sick, he's telling. Jesus didn't go right away to help him, though. Jesus is someone who doesn't immediately pluck us out of our problems. He doesn't take away our situations a lot of time. You know, maybe, you know, we're uncomfortable with that a little bit. You know, and we think, well, you know, just who in the world am I? I'm a joint heir. If you're saved, you're a joint heir with Christ. Amen?
Yes, sir.
That's right. And you know what? If you're saved, you're a child of the King. And being a joint heir with Christ, being a child of the King, don't we expect Jesus to say, you know, come at our beckoning call? Well, you know what? It's not like that. Sometimes he does. But sometimes, and probably a lot of times, he doesn't. You know, there was a reason for his delay. God would get more glory out of Lazarus dying. Let's look at John, let's look at verse 4. 4 through 6. When Jesus heard that he said the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. You know, he's staying 2 more days. You know, we're thinking, are you kidding? You know, this guy's really sick. It's unto death. And you're just hanging around. What's going on? You know the story. Lazarus ended up what? Dying. He died. In verse 14, then Jesus said unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You know, maybe you felt how Martha felt when Jesus finally arrived on the scene. Let's look at we're in John 11, verses 17 through 21, okay? Drop down. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now, Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You know what? He's saying, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. You know, and Mary felt the same way. In verse 32, she said the same thing. You know, but he wouldn't have died, Lord, if you had been here, if you had taken care of these problems. You know, we want him to take care of the problems so bad. Listen, we all know the story of Joseph, right? Joseph, loved by his father more than the rest of the kids. Joseph, hated by his brothers because of it. Joseph, being thrown into a pit because of the situation, taken out, sold into slavery, sold to Potiphar, got into trouble not of his own doing, ended up in jail. I mean, what kind of problems do we have that are like that? How long was Joseph in jail? Can anyone? What? Oh yeah, absolutely, more than two. I mean, the butcher and the baker, that was a 2-year span right there. He was in jail 10 years altogether, about 10 years. And he, in all those 10 years, he didn't turn against God at all. Imagine all that was done to him. He held on to his integrity through all the problems that are in his life. When we go through problems, when we have a serious problem in our life, do we hold on to the integrity? Do we hold on to always putting God first, not running to every other avenue to try to take care of the problem? Do we run to other avenues to take care of the problem? Or do we fall on our knees first when we have problems? You know, we really should be falling on our knees and letting God help us. You know, we even say, Lord, if you had only done something. You know, and where does the blame go? Where's the blame going now? For Lazarus' death. For other people's problem. Lord, if you were there. Lord, if you could do this. Lord, what is the problem? You know who's getting the blame? The Lord.
Yeah.
We're blaming the Lord. I'll tell you, my father died. My whole family, they were Catholic. I was nothing at the time. And sometimes it's better to be nothing, because it's easier to be something from nothing than, you know, trying to lose a religion. But they're all blaming Lord for my father's death. He had nothing to do with it. You know, I mean, that was the way it was. God knows and everything, but we go around blaming God. You know, we see that Jesus doesn't get upset. We know Jesus is filled with compassion. The people there, they're trying to comfort. They're filled with compassion for Martha and Mary. You know, in verse 19 it says, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. You know, Jesus gets there 4 days later. 4 days later, okay? Now, tell me something. There's something significant about that. Does anybody here know? 4 days? He's dead 4 days? No? Okay. The Jews, they believed that the soul hung around for 3 days. So I've got to make sure I got three of them. 3 days before, you know, the soul departs to wherever the soul's going to go. They also believed that the fourth day, everything starts to stink, you know? And it gets stinky around here when you got a dead body. You know, this is a little offshoot. You know, where I was in Zambia, who's the explorer? Yeah, Livingston. You know, Livingston, David Livingston. Do you realize that David Livingston, they have this romantic story about how they buried David Livingston's heart in Africa? His heart was in Africa. Well, you know what? His heart might have been in Africa, you know, his heart, his feelings. But they, along with his heart, they buried his intestines, his big intestines, his colon. They buried his liver, his stomach, you know, because they're transporting this man across the hot African wilderness, and it cuts down on that stank, you know. But they made a nice romantic story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he left his heart in Africa. Well, he left his colon there too, didn't he? Oh, yeah. you know, we like to romanticize a lot of things. Okay, so Martha seems to sense that Jesus can still be of some help and gives her hope. And in verse 23, it says, "But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again." Amen. Great news. You know, but Martha, she understood all that Jesus was saying because she understood. She wasn't she wasn't ignorant of scriptures or the teachings of Jesus. And she knew about the resurrection. And she's thinking, well, yeah, he's going to rise again when resurrection happens. And then in verse 24 and 25, go to 24 and 25. "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise in the resurrection at the last day. Then Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." He said, "I'm the source of hope. I am what you need. I am your source of strength. I am who you need today. And you need them today too." You know, in our times of struggles, we often forget these words. Listen, I remember growing up as a kid. We never locked our house. We never locked our car. I was allowed to go just about anywhere within maybe a 15-mile circumference. And that's how life was. I mean, I don't allow my teenagers to go somewhere unattended. I look at this world today and I see the crime, the filth, the walking pornography down the street. And you're going to a mall. You know what? Where were we? I think we were in Africa. And they had this big billboard. We were in this little restaurant in the mall. A big billboard of like, it's very similar to this Victoria's Secrets. And there was blinds. And I told the lady, I go, "Could you please, you know, I got my son." And I go, "Could you please shut these blinds if we're going to eat here?" She goes, "Why?" I go, "That nakedness up." "Where?" And that's the way it is. People don't even see it anymore. It's unbelievable. You know, so, you know, our times are struggle, but we forget that Jesus is real in our lives even now. He wants to help us to get through life, not just hang around waiting for the rapture. You know, you see somebody, "I can't believe it." You know, some Christians walk around like, "Oh, woe is me." You know Eeyore?
Yeah.
The Eeyore Christians, you know. "Oh, Eeyore, woe is me, you know. Oh, when you're coming back, Lord, I've been waiting. I can't take it much longer," you know. That shouldn't be. He wants to be your source of strength and life and hope today, right now. Hope. You know, we got us a beautiful church building. I got my tablet. I can show you some of the pictures of things later. But a beautiful church building in a beautiful area. You know what? Every single time in Africa when I found a piece of land to build the church on, the council would take it from me. And they'd sell it to somebody else who had money. Finally, the person who got me the land in Africa was a Pentecostal lawyer that was going to the church right next door to where our church is, about a football field away. And they've been trying to get that land for 10 years and couldn't get it, but he managed to get it for us. God wanted us to have that land. You know, we had problem after problem. And I'm thinking, I can't believe this. We're never going to get a piece of land. When we finally get a piece of land, it's going to be so far remote, no one's going to be able to come to it. Well, let me tell you something. We got a beautiful piece of land on a beautiful hill that is dead square in the middle of three townships, walking distance between all three townships, because most of them walk, some drive. And where is it located? It's on the University Road. The only road that goes up to the university, the back of the university, where hundreds of students are walking right on the road, you know? And but it made those other, that Pentecostal church landlocked too. They were landlocked. And so what we had to do is they had to build a road for us, and they gave us extra land too. And we needed to build a road anyways. But we're right in the middle where everything is. I mean, it's not a busy, busy area. It's the school and the three townships. And you couldn't have found a better area. You just couldn't have found a better area. Well, let's go to John 38. 11:38. Eventually, Jesus gets to the tomb. Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. You know, and we talked about how the 4 days was significant. That, you know what? Jesus wants to, he wants to show you who he is. He wants you to realize that he's the God of lost hope. He's the God that can change death into life. And he can do that in our lives too, you know. So by this time, day 4, everyone else had given up hope already. Even with Jesus, they gave up hope. Is that our problem sometimes? Have we reached day 4 in our problems? Yeah. Are we lacking in the hope department? Do you feel that you just can't go on some days? I'll tell you, I've sometimes, I don't know, so, I'm not perfect, okay? My family thinks I am, but I got to keep reminding them. I am not perfect. What are you laughing at? And I'm gonna stumble sometimes with faith, and just like all of you. But we got to keep remembering who we are and who our God is and what he can do, and that he's not gonna, he might let us go through some problems, but they're for a reason. They're to help us, to be more like Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And then they said, now listen, these people, they know a little bit more than God knows. So they want to try to correct Jesus on some things. The people thought they should correct his understanding of life. And they said to him, Lord, by this time he stinketh. You know, what? Stinketh? Stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 days. But Jesus had an answer. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? He said, trust me. Let me show you that I can still fix the situation. Even I want you to believe that I believe in lost causes. Have you ever felt like a lost cause? I know I have at times. You know, I'll tell you. You're going to say, man, I didn't like that missionary. He didn't seem very spiritual. I'll tell you something. On the mission field, there's been times when I felt like quitting. I felt like going to my wife, you know what? We can go to Rochester. I can get a job as a night watchman and help the baker eat the donuts. But you know what? You know what I carry in my wallet? One time I had to go to South Africa for a situation. And my son, I feel like crying. He gives me this little Bible he made up. He was just a little boy. And, oh, Dad, I love you so much. And one of the notes that came with it was, I need you. If you're not here, How can I become a missionary? Yeah. So, you know, different things in life help you stick with it. And just remembrance helps you stick with it. Remembering what God has done in your life. And God has really never forsaken you. And we look at it and we need to get that faith back. Jesus says, let me fix it. They took that stone away. And then what does he do? And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, this come forth. And you know what happened? And the dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, can you imagine? How do you think Lazarus came out of that grave? Huh? I personally think God, you know, here's Lazarus lying down. God said, come forth! And Lazarus just levitated up, you know? Just levitated up, and he's coming out, and you could see, and all, oh, and the cave gets lit up, and this beautiful heavenly music is playing, and and Lazarus is just floating out, you know? Because here he is, he's bound hand and foot. Can you imagine if he came out bound hand and foot? You see what you're doing? If I was there, I'd crack up laughing. You know, it would ruin the whole moment. So I kind of think the other way. You know, what had been a foul-smelling problem just became a wonderful answer to prayer. Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, maybe you're here and you feel your problems are too heavy to share. You feel weighted down by the horrible things of life. You feel like life stinks. And it does sometimes. You know what Jesus says to you today? No matter what your stinking problem is. I've never found that in Scripture, but I've looked. Whatever your stinking problem is, get up again anyways. You know, Jesus doesn't deny you got the problems. He admits that you got some rotten problems sometimes, but no matter how much they stink, you need to let Jesus have a go at them. You know, some of you feel overwhelmed every day by problems you face. You prayed for the Lord to take the problems away, and he didn't fix them. You know, I knew a lady in Africa. This lady, she came, we prayed over her. We anointed her. And nothing happened to her problem. And then one day, her kids came to me and said, Pastor, Mom just went to the witch doctor. You know, witch doctors can kill you with some of their potions that they make, seriously. You know, and the problem didn't go away. And I counseled her, and finally she realized what she did. She knew what she did was wrong. But finally she was admitting it. But she had to come and stand, because the whole church knew about it. I mean, if it's an open sin, she needs to stand before the church. The whole, you know, she stood before her church. She apologized to God. She apologized to the congregation. And she went on. And eventually the problem went away. But you know what? We want our problems taken away immediately.
That's right.
That's why we got fast food restaurants. We want our food immediately. We don't want to wait. You know, and when we do have to wait, we're looking. You know, you might have to wait. I waited 10 minutes one time. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding. I'm here 10 minutes. No. But I remember one time in Africa, this poor little African girl in this, it was like a Kentucky Fried Chicken. It was named a Hungry Lion. And this Afrikaans, these people are literally brutal. They'll kill you. They're rough. They're tough. this guy, it wasn't her fault. This guy, he had to wait 5 minutes for his food. 5 minutes. And he's going up her one side, down the other, and yelling and screaming at her. And I look at him and I go, hey, what are you doing? He goes, nah, nah, nah. I go, oh, okay. You know, these people, we got to realize that sometimes it's good to wait. I waited a long time for that piece of land. You know what? These people that I ministered to in Italy, the African refugees, I guarantee 100% you can walk up to them and in 15 minutes lead them to the Lord. How does that sound? How does that sound? Pastor, how does that sound? Yeah, not too good. Really, not too good. Well, I don't do that.
Yeah.
I sit down with these men. I got a captive audience, you know. Where he's going right now, I'll tell you about when I preached in the jails of Zambia. I got a captive audience. These people are in camps, you know, and they're going to be there between 2 and 3 years. And so I take my time. I have Bible studies with them. And I teach them the Bible. I teach them, I teach the Pentecostalism out of their brains. Not only that, you know, when I teach them, they get excited, you know, they sit down and I go, okay, today's Bible study is going to be on eternal security. Eternal security? We can be, and they're listening. And I remember one of the later Bible studies I had with them, I said, okay, now this Bible study is going to be on the King James Bible. A different look, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. But I'll tell you one thing, after I taught them, and they said, wow, we never knew that. My son and I came up with this Bible study that has a lot of different things in it. It's only 2 pages. And I'll tell you, when I used it in Africa, when people came to our church, I never said to them, you have to use the King James Bible. I never said that. What I did say to them is that, hey, if I saw them coming, can I come to your house and do a Bible study? And they'd say, sure. And I'd bring this Bible study, and I'll tell you, every single person that I ever did this Bible study with, except for one person, you know, there's always got to be one, said, I can't use this Bible anymore. I have to use the King James Bible. I never knew anything like this before. So, you know, so we don't just lead them. Maybe today, I don't know where I am, so I'm just going to pick a spot here. Maybe today he wants to give you life from death. Maybe today for you to finally get up out of your tomb. Get up out of your grave clothes and let Jesus work in you. Today could be the day that Jesus does his miracle working in your life. I don't know how many people in this room are saved. I don't know that. I don't know how many people in this room have ever led a person to the Lord. But I'll tell you one thing. I remember, you know that young man, Reese? Well, he just went away to some place by Mexico, and he came back, and when he came back, I saw him, and I go, Reese, did you lead anyone to the Lord? His whole face just lit up. He goes, yes. He goes, it was the first person I ever led to the Lord. And I go, how was it? He goes, I was so excited. I go, Reese, that feeling never fails. You'll always be that excited to see how God can use sinners like us to reach other sinners to be in the kingdom of God. You know, we have problems. God wants to work through those problems. We get up out of your problems, walk into the light, keep living for Jesus. No matter what your stinking problem is, get up again anyways. If you're not saved here today, you know what? You need to be saved.
Right.
You know, let's close our eyes and bow our heads for a minute, okay? You know, the biggest thing that I hear is that, well, I need to follow the commandments. I need to follow the law to be saved. That's one of the biggest things that I hear. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. What's the reference? Galatians 2:24? Jim? Maybe. Christ is... What it's basically saying is, if you are trying to keep the law to get saved, then you know what? It was totally vain for God. It was totally not needed for God to come and die on a cross. Was it needed for him to die on a cross to save us from our sin? Well, it certainly was. It's the only sacrifice that can take our sin and cast it. It's the only thing. Jesus says, you know what? Like Pastor said earlier, there's two ways to get saved. You can spend an eternity in hell, burning in fire, or you can accept Jesus Christ. The Bible says, Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Grace. The problem is people don't understand what grace is. Grace is unmerited favor of God. You can't pay for it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. Unmerited favor of God. God's grace. How can you have God's grace and work for it at the same time? Work. I do something to get something, no matter what type of work it is. You see the sky out here today? How beautiful it looks, a beautiful, clear, blue sky. Can you have a beautiful, clear, blue sky and at the same time a pitch black darkness with stars in the sky? You laugh and you say, that's not possible. Well, of course it's not possible. And either is being able to be saved by God's grace and having to try to work for it at the same time. It's just as impossible. It's only God's grace. God is our Savior. And if you have to do something to get saved, guess what? You are now becoming the Savior. And we are not the Savior. It's God's salvation, not ours. And God saves us with his grace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time together. And thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the salvation that you provide for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Amen.